The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
So on a Thursday, it's Cody and Gold. Emphasis on Cody is here today.
Oh, hi.
What's up? What's going on?
Not much.
It feels like it's been 3 weeks. It's
honestly
been like 10 days, I think,
you,
maybe.
You'd think it would have been longer because it was like six shows that essentially you and I didn't do together.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday last week, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. Feels like forever. It took me a second to like get used to being back in Kansas City.
I was hoping you're just going to come back completely different look, new hairstyle, no glasses, just completely just throw
just
everybody off.
Just who I was.
Just what Dallas did to you. I don't know, Arlington or Fort Worth, wherever the hell you were at.
Fort Worth, which is essentially the Dallas area. We were in that area a couple of times over the course of the trip. So, yeah, I'm back.
Welcome
dance
back.
Dance dad duties are done for the season.
Are
I
you
imagine
sure?
Her dance won't start back up until August, you know, when classes will begin or whatever. The major trip is always in the summer. The recital time, right? Usually in the winter or spring, but I'm back. Fully back.
Jay Binkley was filling in for a bit. I'm sure you, through the text line, will get filled in on a few moments that happened while you were gone.
I did hear a couple of like, hey, this is... So if you guys would, yeah, catch me up on exactly everything I missed.
Mm-hmm.
I heard by the time... I think that there's like... There's a couple of things I've noticed, and this happened when you and I were gone. We were at Nick's wedding in California. I feel like I've heard that essentially there's like a, you know, like people say, well, I have a certain social battery. I think that Drew has a Jay Binkley battery. And there's like a moment where Drew's like, I need a day. Like he just him and Binkley after like,
denying, but...
after like 5 days, he's like, I need a day.
Yeah.
And now he gets it because I'm back.
Yeah, exactly. There was talk. Yeah, that you missed the whole wedding ring conversation thing for
what
a while.
What about it? Me not wearing one or somebody else?
Well, so it's funny you say that. So there was
a whole thing.
I had
to drop a haymaker on Bink.
You missed it. Drew had one of his best lines in his time on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Bink was giving him a hard time because Drew hasn't worn his wedding ring. Now it's been like a week or so. But at one point, he just wasn't
you
wearing
it. You stopped wearing it?
Well, like, at first, he wouldn't answer the question.
It's been a while now, actually.
Yeah. We noticed it. Then Bink was pressing him like, hey, so where did you put it? He's like, Cody never wears his. And he just kept responding. Cody never wears his.
I
wasn't throwing you under the bus. I was just making a case in point that Bink never mentions it regarding you.
Sure.
Then this
and we
came
said,
up.
Yeah, Cody's established a long time ago, him and his wife, for whatever reason, they just usually don't wear the wedding rings. And then finally, Drew got sick of him asking about it. One day, and Drew goes, well, Bink, you've lost both of yours.
Wow.
Which was a great moment.
Shot fired.
It was a great moment.
I'm kind of sad I missed that.
Yeah, it was good. Drew had a nice moment there.
And by the way, I don't think he lost them. Like, oh, no, where'd they go?
Well, obviously. Yes, that's the joke.
Correct.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That was
the point. Yes, everybody picked up on the... on the joke as well. But yeah, you were dance dad for a little while there. Yeah, Bing kept asking if you were going to sing or dance. And I said, I don't think so. I go, if he was asked, he might, but I don't think he's going to volunteer.
I can't dance. But there's a, I mean, they do a charity, you know?
Did you
they
do
could
that?
Include dance. I did not.
Could you? Like, honestly, could you?
I could have. I am allowed to.
You should have done it.
My daughter made it to, I mean, I was heavily considering bribes because what happened, because my instinct, I think, is to like, can I grease the wheels here a little? There was two straight, Friday and Saturday night, there was a charity dance-off. And it can be kids, adults, moms, little kids, doesn't matter. And my daughter really, really, really always wants to do them. But we're always a little hesitant because it devastates her. Like, when she doesn't get selected, she is crushed. And so day on Friday, they do, and it's 160 kids and they narrow it down to like 20. And so she's in a group with, and this is unfortunate for her. She's in a group with, a little kid, you know, it's like two, obviously they're going to select the 2 year old for doing it. Right. So there's just nothing to be done about it. She doesn't get selected. She's crushed. So then on Saturday, she's like, no, I want to do it. I understand I can't win. And like every time. And I'm like, I just gave it. It's for charity. If I just donated money to this charity, would they just get her to the next round? I didn't do that because it wasn't fair to the other kids. She did get through to the next round and then made it to the championship round. Didn't win, but like made it to, so it was all
that was
like,
okay. She was happy with that. Okay.
So avoided. I don't want to add competition. I don't want to get like in a group with her or do those things. So I don't do the charity thing in the hope that it gives my daughter a better chance to advance. Like, I feel like there's just, I don't want to do it. Honestly, I can't dance.
Did you do did you do the one thing I asked you to do while you were there? The one thing
Dallas.
I needed you to do that because I want to do it, and you were right there. There's two things that you didn't do.
I did not go to the thing in Dallas. You asked me to do that.
You dropped the ball on two things. One is even more upsetting than we thought.
What was
going
the other
in. One was I wanted you to go to the Cosm place.
I didn't go to Cosm.
Okay, that's
the schedule
fine.
Didn't align. Fair enough. It didn't work out.
The second thing is just inexcusable. Especially for this show, you were within 15 minutes of Jack Caglione's in Texas
and
against the Rangers. Could have been there the day he hit two home runs, what are still the only two home runs, obviously, when the offense actually existed for this baseball team briefly for a few days. You could have been right there. Could have been right there. And that was before we were starting to get worried. We were saying, man, if Cody comes back and Cags doesn't have a home run by then the song is a problem. We were about to say the song is a problem. The Royals, initially, the Royals had lost six in a row after your song. You know that, right?
Yeah, I did know that. And then they won four in a row, and I thought, okay, problem solved.
That's right.
We're right back. Because that's the whole thing. Like, while I was gone, they lost. They were starting to lose before I left. They continued to lose while I was gone. And I'm like, oh my God, by the time I get back on the show, are they going to be in some? Man. And then they won four games in a row, and I thought, okay, fine. I'm not going to have to come back and be like, no, they shouldn't fire Q because the team can't hit a homer or no. And like, I thought we were going to be able to avoid some of the conversations that had existed before I was gone. And then they just go back and lose every home game before I return. It does feel a little bit like deja vu. By the time we arrive, we're here back saying, still can't hit, can't hit homers, pitch really well. Defense has still been an issue for this team that we probably haven't highlighted enough throughout the time that they've struggled. And I'm right back wondering the same thing. They're stuck in no man's land. I would say if you're buying, I'd actually prefer you buy now. Don't wait and find out if you need to buy. You have to like do it immediately and try to solve some of the problems, not hope to do it. Selling you can wait on.
Yeah, it's funny.
You
and I haven't talked about the updated viewpoint on this because you've been gone or whatever. But no, that's essentially what I said yesterday with Vern, that, you know, if you were going to buy a rental or anything, then it needs to be done today. I don't want you buying a rental in 2 weeks or something like that. And if you're going to sell, you're going to sell. That'll work itself out. We've said that over and over. But yeah, Cody, I mean, what we've seen this homestand, last homestand, this is maybe not the nine straight home losses, but the offensive struggles, this is who they've been the entire season. That's nothing new. What they did in Texas was the outlier performance, but it's now nine straight home losses, seven straight losing home series. They've guaranteed that after the loss to the Rays. And of course, they'll wrap up their series against them this afternoon. We're, by the way, off at noon today. We'll hand things off to Vern. And then the Dodgers come to town.
Is it Lugo on the mound today? No, I think it's Lorenzen.
Lugo's this weekend, I believe. Yeah, Lugo's this weekend. And I don't want to sound like a broken record because, look, we have been talking about this offense over and over.
Yeah, we have.
But what's happening, like you cannot say what's happening is all right and it's just on the players. You just can't. And as we said, like teams with historically bad offensive seasons, a hitting coach that hasn't had great seasons in the past either, you know, you don't just say we don't hold the staff accountable. It's starting to feel, on a small scale, a little bit how things went eventually where everybody realized they needed to move on from Cal Eldred. But they just waited, and they were very loyal and patient and loyal and patient. It seems like if they continue on this historically bad pace offensively and they go through the rest of the season and it either doesn't get better and they don't make any staff switch at all, then it feels a little like the Cal Eldred situation where we'll be heading into next season saying, oh boy, here we go again, and it'll be mid-season next year before they make a move.
Here's the one funny thing about that is that I always kind of attributed the slow move part a little bit more to the Dayton era than it was to the JJ era. You know, I didn't think Cal Eldred was a good coach, and they had held on to him way, 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 way too long. I'll just tell you right now, you're once again in the position with your offense that you have to do something. Like, you changed the lineup before. Change it again. Hit Mikel first. Hit Bobby third. I don't care. Do something. Just sitting around, hit Jack Caglione eighth, and you don't have to. I know, I understand that he's not hitting for power right now or for average really at that point, but do something. You can't just sit around and be like, today's the day, the offense will figure it out. That ain't it. That's not it. Because right now, my biggest fear is that their solution to the offense will be recalling MJ Melendez and Michael Massey and just hoping that that works the second time. Because now, obviously, we've seen that.
Well, if they don't buy
even these others.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't buy, that's exactly what's going to end up happening.
But that's essentially just selling, in my opinion.
Well, that'll be in 2 weeks, or if this homestand ends up being an 0-6 homestand, but in 2 weeks, if they're 7 or 8 games plus under 500 and they're 7 or 8 games or whatever, roughly out of a playoff spot, then yeah, it'll be very obvious they should be sellers. And of course, Massey might get called up, by the way, like this weekend or early next week.
He's
anyway.
On his way up to Simon Yetta. Three hit day.
Melendez is probably late July if they don't do anything at the deadline kind of thing and nobody at that, or unless he's part of a trade, by the way.
Massey's only taken like Rave's spot, in my opinion, in that scenario anyway, so that's not really changing anything about it.
There are no internal options left from a player perspective. There's not.
But you got to do something. Change the lineup.
It's the hitting, you know, the hitting staff. You cannot say status quo is fine. Yeah, the lineup thing, I don't get as hung up on that as maybe you do, and I know a lot of other people do as well. I would argue, what the lineup, if we all agree the players are not performing and that there's clearly an issue with hitting, I'll hit lineup. Like, if you want to change it, that's fine. Like, what do you want the lineup to look like? They're not, it doesn't like, they're no, nobody,
know,
they're not hitting
saying,
anyway.
Like,
it doesn't do anything.
It might be deck chairs on the Titanic, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah,
nothing
guess.
Is what they have been doing for the last, since the lineup change, I would say that includes Mikel Garcia hitting third. Nothing is what they have
done. And by
the
way, he's hit worse since he's moved to third.
I know, exactly. And so, and again, that goes back to him hitting leadoff. Mikel Garcia and other players, depending on the player, work better in a scenario in which they are put in a good position. He was being put in a good position before, and it was working. I liked where he was hitting, and it was functional. Their problem is that they need an addition to the lineup so that everybody else can kind of go back to their spots. And look, the Jack Caglione stuff, I'm sure you guys have talked about that endlessly, too. No, I'm not worried about a young player 3 weeks into their Major League Baseball
career.
Well,
it's just that if everybody's struggling to line up, then why would I think that the guy that's only been up for, what are we up to, 20 games now? Yeah. Why do I think that he would,
like
he would
the
be
solution.
The one? He'd be the one hitting.
If the other guys who've been in the league for 5, 7, 8 years weren't going to
solve it. It's been a disappointing start for him, but the fact that the entire offense is stunk and they're having a historically bad offensive season, that as far as like the bigger picture stuff with him, that's all, honestly, though, that would be my concern, bigger picture, with not having any hitting development and hitting change at the big league level from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, there's just got to be something. Movement is what we're
they
looking for.
They don't hit the ball
regard.
Out of the freaking infield.
Yesterday, and again, because
yesterday's
because I was
plane approach was
trip.
Worse. Cody, they had a perfect game against them 2 nights ago from Taj Bradley through 5 innings.
Yeah.
Last night's approach was worse. Yes. You might be, how's that? It was worse. They were not patient at the plate, swinging at first pitches. Truly, like the effort.
Were they trying to set a world record for pop-ups?
For the first time, the effort looked like just laziness. Like usually I would say the effort's been there. That's not been a problem. Last night, it seemed like the effort wasn't even there. It's a mess. And look, when you've lost 9 straight games at home, obviously there's a psychological impact now that is happening with the team too.
Yeah. That's the other part, is that now going out to the K feels like it's going to be a not good time, and you got to change at least that mindset, right? Go, let's just say you were going to catch a nooner today from the office. You're a salesperson. You're like, you know what? I was going to go catch the Royals game. See if I can't see Jack hit his third big league homer. Right. I was going to go out to the K. Right now, the vibes at the K have got to be at a low. And this goes back to the same thing I have said before in the show, and I still stand by this. I think we have always, especially as it relates to baseball, undervalued confidence. Where you are at a confidence point. Because when a team feels like they're winning, feels good about the winning, all those things, you can see it, you can feel it, it makes sense. You can absolutely kind of get like the flow and the rhythm to it. And they feel like the opposite of that right now. And I absolutely think that that's part of the issue as it relates to the Royals as it sits, is that they're just going into the K probably feeling like, you know, they're going to lose a game. And that part, you know, like, ugh, that's tough.
I mean, we're at the point where if they lose today and it becomes a 10-game losing streak at home, then like then they are three losses away from literally having an entire month of June winless at home. Like that's someone would have to look at when's the last time that's happened in baseball other than like then the White Sox maybe last year did it when they were historically bad, or the Rockies. But
maybe,
like,
but it's still hard to go 30 full days without winning.
Cody, they are four losses in a row away at home from that happening. That's they're not that far off from that being the case. They could have an 0-13 home record in the month or something like that.
I gotta say, I've not been worried about Jack Caglione's defense based on highlight plays he continues to make. And
I hear you. It's nice to see, but it's so hard to get excited about any of that stuff right now. You know
I just meant as far as they're still pitching. It's not.
I saw this yesterday. Since May 23rd, the Savannah Bananas have won as many games at Kauffman Stadium as the Kansas City Royals have.
I mean, it's not great.
Yeah, so that was a very popular tweet. People had like seven different versions of that. The first person got it wrong. They said in the month of June, the Bananas were here in May, but good effort. And then like somebody corrected it, and then everybody thought they were making the same clever joke last night. But
we get it. The Royals can't win at home and have not been able to win at home lately, and we hope that that changes tonight at the K. I was thinking about, you're sitting around in these dance studios. It is sometimes painful amounts of time in between songs. So there's
Did you fall asleep ever?
No, can't. It's like sleeping on an airplane. Never did take a nap. And I was mostly because, my wife has to help get my daughter ready. Desmond and I were palling around a lot. So I try to take him out to give him a break.
Much smoother operation this time.
Much smoother. Yeah. Yeah. No issues in that regard. Everything was smooth. The worst that happened to him is he got some blisters from walking. Him and I went to the zoo, just the two of us.
Oh, nice.
And he got a couple of blisters and he was like, I don't understand these. And I'm like, it's fine. You'll be okay. Put a Band-Aid on and he was good. That was the worst case scenario for him. I will say, just real quick on another dance observation, and then I want to tell you what I was thinking about Chiefs related and I was sitting in these halls. I saw not one, but two different kids dance to a Kanye West song. And I thought to myself, how on earth? One was in a medley. One was a song. And I thought, I understand that you started practicing these in like September. Like my daughter started practicing so in like August or September. When he starts selling Nazi stuff, man, you got to get out. You got to get out.
Are they classic
dance?
Kanye songs like Graduation?
Yeah,
are they
but that doesn't matter.
Okay.
We've known he's crazy for a while, by the way, too. When you choose the medley in September, it's not like this is just all coming to light. I thought he was a perfectly normal dude. No, like R. Kelly, Kanye, Diddy, these are the ones that are off. I understand they got a lot of popular hits that you could probably
dance to. A lot of songs you got to erase.
I understand, dude.
Did anybody have Michael Jackson part of their thing? Probably were at a dance competition.
The third overall place in the, like, so our kids, our dance group got two total callbacks. One for their huge production number and one for a tap duo that two other kids did in the thing. There were probably like 45 dances that got callbacks. And then out of that, they choose the grand national champion or whatever. The Michael Jackson mix got fourth overall, and I thought, also not great, but definitely better than the three I just mentioned because of the time of it.
Yeah, I think as time goes on, things might change for some of them, like the Michael Jackson songs.
So let me tell you about the thing. Other than that, what I was thinking about, other than the dance choices, which I have questions about occasionally, I was sitting around and I was thinking about the Chiefs, and I'm not... This isn't a Andy Reid is a bad coach or the game is completely passed him by conversation. But I did think that if the offense once again fails, this is kind of like the offense for the Royals. If the Chiefs offense once again falls behind the pack, they're 12th, 15th, 18th, have no big plays. It looks similar to the way that it did last year. I do think people will start the conversation of Andy's not adjusting to the offense part of the league. Because you can say Andy still knows how to win a football game, which I think is true.
I mean, 115 of them. Yeah.
And that Spagnuolo helps them stay up to date on the defensive end. That'll help them grind out even more wins. But if for the third straight year, the offense just looks, I'm going to start wondering if Andy's not seeing offense the way he should as it relates to modern football.
I get why that would be a thought. Totally. I would say, though, and this is where this year is going to be really interesting. And I know you're saying, hey, if it happens again this year, but we just know last year's plan going into the season got altered drastically.
By
one Hollywood Brown against the Jags in preseason, then Rice against the Chargers in week 4. And so it caused their initial plan of, I think, Rashee Rice being the focal point of the offense to completely go away. Therefore, Kelce was asked to do things that maybe at this point in his career is not where he's at. And then you're asking a rookie in Worthy to become one of your biggest weapons. And as the season went on, he developed into that and he had a very nice rookie season. So I want to see when, if it happens, Rice, Worthy, Hollywood, with Kelce, with maybe a left tackle that can provide some competent play. We'll see. Does that just fix everything? My thought is, I think that fixes a lot of this. And we're talking about this offense especially being back in that realm of top 10, yeah, top 5 trend, you know, category. But I would argue against, I would say last year, the fact that they were able to pivot the way they did and still find a way to get to 15 and all that.
In
a weird way, doesn't that show that Andy Reid is able to adjust to win football games? The name of the game, ultimately, it's as much as I love fantasy football, you love fantasy football, I love betting on over prop bets and all that. That's not Andy Reid is just, hey, win the damn game. Just win, baby. And that's what he does.
So I would say if it's a 1 year sample size, that's why I wouldn't have and didn't bring it up at any point last year. I would agree with you. This would be the third year now in a row where I would say the offense is below what I would expect a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid-led offense is. So, sure, there are excuses individually we can give in individual years, and I think that a lot of those are logical and make sense. That's part of the reason why this year I would feel that way, Gold. For the previous 2 years, I agree with you. I actually think I look back at last year, and my instinct is to say, well, considering the talent you had on the field, you managed to scrape by a 12th-ranked offense. And the fact that it was ranked 12th, considering just how wretched you were at the deep ball, actually kind of a positive sign. But as it sits right now, this feels like a pretty... Now, it's June 26th. We're barreling towards an excuse-free year. You're going to have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all in a field together. You're going to have... Maybe you're going to have a really good left tackle. You got a chance of Joshua Simmons as your starting
left
tackle.
But you know, you and I both know, while fans would get frustrated, if I told you this team won 12 or 13 games, won the AFC West, where a top 2 seed in the offense was 11th, are we really going to freak out about that?
I know, because it will have to come with a reduction of wins.
Well,
10 or 11. 10 or 11. I mean, because he still has had a win. They still got Patrick Mahomes. They can only lose so many.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think most of us recognize...
Look, I got Chargers team.
Most of us recognize they're not winning 15 games again. I think when we did our quick schedule look, I don't know, back in May, I think we both were at 13 wins.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, our very fast 13-14, we were in that range. Something. I don't remember exactly.
We'll do it again before the start of the season.
Yeah. That'll be my official one once I've had some more time to actually think about it.
No, I just think in terms of adapting, that's where I worry the least about this current coaching staff, is their ability to adapt in season. I mean, that's where Spags has been starting now these last couple seasons, but remember that was the whole thing with Spags a couple years ago. People would freak out as defenses would start slow and then they would make adjustments and they would end up being a pretty darn good defense. Heck, in game, Steve Spagnuolo, I still think, makes better adjustments than any other defensive coordinator in football. There'll be plenty of drives in the first half where social media is panicking. Oh my gosh, you're letting them drive down the field. What are you doing? Second half, they shut them down. They make an adjustment. That to me is where this coaching staff thrives.
Yeah, I do think so. But I feel it with Spags. On the offense, sometimes it's like, hey, you're going to do, like in game, it's like, Andy has a plan and he likes his plan. He likes his script. And last year, it might have just been that there were no adjustments to make when your leading wide receiver was a rookie they had taken in the first round that they didn't plan on counting on, a tight end who did not look as fresh or as healthy as we are accustomed to seeing, and a bunch of missing wide receivers outside the unit. I will say that one of the adjustments he definitely will not have made is if they put all this speed on the field and all these guys are healthy and they still average 4.5 yards a throw, I'll be like, Andy, people go deep in this game sometimes. We got to push the ball down the field occasionally.
But as you know, there's more
to actually keep these teams honest.
There's more context to that, though. Like, yeah. Is the offensive line, is the left tackle situation fixed?
Yeah,
is it average play, below average? Is it all of a sudden become elite because you hit a home run? Like, so much of that. We talked about this when you were gone, Cody. I think yesterday or 2 days ago, Warren Sharp put out numbers, and we looked at, hey, did you know the Chiefs, there were only three teams that had fewer completions of 25 yards or more through the air.
Yeah.
And they were only ahead of Arizona and I think Miami. But Green Bay led the league. That might have surprised you. But we found out, like, hey, the middle of the road on that is 12. If the Chiefs just had 12 of them, they'd be right in the middle of the pack.
Which is what I expect this year.
And there were two or three of those very plays that, you know, early in the season, Worthy and Mahomes were not on the same page. Worthy was stepping out of bounds. Mahomes was leading him too far out of bounds, whatever it was. And so if you just get a few more of those, that solves, I think, some of what you're talking
What's
about.
What's funny is I don't even anticipate that this will end up being the conversation. It's like having the precursor of, if this Royals season continues going this way, then Q will be on the hot seat game one next year for the Royals. It's not that I think Andy can't adjust. I do think he is the best, or I don't know, one of the three best coaches, whatever it is, in the NFL, and that would kind of come into play there. But I do wonder whether or not, like, you know, how do you get the deep passing game back involved again becomes the inevitable question, obviously, for the Chiefs.
All right, coming up next, I got a question for you about quarterbacks heading into their second and third year in the NFL. Plus, we'll talk a little about the NBA draft last night, some of the funny moments that occurred, and how much did you actually pay attention to it? That's next.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here on a Thursday. Coming up in just a second, I've got a question involving second and third year quarterbacks in the NFL. But before that, the NBA draft last night, yesterday we were discussing it and Drew was asking how much I was going to watch. I said, I'll watch like the first 10 picks. And then it gets, I said, confusing because guys get drafted. They wear a hat that they don't even get drafted by a team. And then it gets confusing and tracking who's with what. And then I saw Scott Van Pelt had a whole monologue on it. And maybe that's what we need. We need someone with a national voice to finally end this, because it's the most ridiculous thing about the NBA draft, that when they're interviewing, let's say, Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida, he's wearing a Wizards hat. And there's already a graphic on the screen that says the pick will be sent to Utah. We already know he's going to the Jazz. What do we do? Give him another hat. It's crazy. So that part is always annoying. I ended up only watching the first 5 picks. And then I was like, all right, I'm out.
Drew said, and I am not kidding, that he plans on watching round 2 tonight, to which Speck and I both responded. We were just listing off the things we would rather do.
Round 2 of the draft.
Than watch round 2 of the NBA draft. They included and are not limited to. Whittling a stick, going on a walk in the middle of this heat in jeans. Those are things I'd rather do than watch round 2 of the NBA draft.
I normally go on a walk round normally 2, every day, but not during the draft.
I'd rather whittle a stick on my porch like it's the 1890s.
I did watch the entire first round yesterday.
Round 2 is crazy. I understand if you watch the first round. Totally get it. You're an NBA guy, and if you got a team, that's not. Round 2 is a little wild. I just couldn't watch after the first 5 picks or so. It just gets very repetitive, and you get to the point, especially once you get to some of the
entertaining moments, though.
I know, and but here's the thing.
Colin Cowherd getting drafted?
Did I really miss them, though? Because if there's a moment like that, I know it's going to be all over social media. Like, yes, there was a pick in which, was it Malika Andrews?
Yes.
Who said that Colin Cowherd got drafted.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Cowherd here. This is a young man with the ultimate bet on yourself story.
It was an actual laugh out loud moment of, excuse me.
Social media picked up on it very quick. Colin Cowherd had his team quickly mock up him in a Trailblazers uni. Now, the kid's actual name is what?
Cedric Cowherd.
So how did we get to Colin?
CC and Cowherd,
It had to have been the Coward part. It
doesn't even work in ESPN anymore.
I know. For ESPN to do it, that also is.
They showed Ace, I think.
Ace of Bailey.
They showed him on the screen, and it had said Cooper Flagg underneath it.
That's not Cooper
Flagg. It was a bad broadcast. Yeah. It was just a straight up bad broadcast.
The first pick we all know was going to, we already knew it was going to be Cooper Flagg, and there's all sorts of prop bets already out for him. For him to record a triple-double in any game next year is minus 120. Like, it's not even a plus money bet. Rookie of the year, he's minus 190 to be the rookie of the year. If he stays healthy, it's probably going to be him. Yeah. If you bet on anybody else, you're basically betting on an injury for Cooper Flagg.
Wimby.
Ace Bailey at 8.5-1. Trey Johnson, the kid out of Texas. 8.5. Dylan Harper is actually in a really good spot. I like that at 12-1 if you're going to take a flyer on anybody given the circumstance that he's going to be in. But the NBA draft, truly, like, an SVP. It's funny that he did that last night, because we were joking about on the show yesterday, because I really think it is crazy. Move around your league calendar if you have to. You guys get drafted and we don't even know what team they're going to. If you just look at a photo of them in their draft hat and stuff, that's just bad marketing by the NBA.
There's the viral Kobe Bryant and a Charlotte Hornets hat. Yeah. Of course, you know. Yeah. It's been a thing for a long while.
Just don't put them in hats. Your league works different than the NBA. This is the only thing I give them credit for, the NFL. Other things, but at least they've made their draft like, at least I'll put it on. I am not interested in any other league's draft at all. I don't care about baseballs. I don't care. I didn't watch 30 seconds of the NBA's. Okay, Cooper Flagg's going to go first.
It like would you help said, if anything had else a team, but yes.
For sure.
I like the NBA, though, and we'll watch the NBA, Drew.
If we had an NBA team, we'd be more locked in. That's fact.
It would help, but I do understand why you wouldn't feel as...
But Drew, it gets
background noise-ish, as the NFL draft can be.
It gets, this is like the NFL, we know the names that are getting drafted. So after the top 5 to 10 picks this year, when you have, I don't know, 10 international guys getting drafted and you get into the only
I don't know the player, but like the kid from China coming out of the crowd.
Drafted from the bleachers, he was.
Cool moment. He wasn't invited to the draft because nobody thought he was going to be a first-round pick. Uh-huh. And he just, like, spotlight on him, rises from the crowd and walks down. All right, kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not sticking around. I'll just wait. Social media will tell me what happened there. That's all.
Yeah, NBA draft last night, round 2 this evening.
I think that's just the NBA as a whole, in all honesty, is that if you want something from the National Basketball Association, you can find it on social media. Where in the NFL, you can find moments, but in order to really understand the entire picture and how things really went, for the most part, you got to watch the entire game.
The only thing that was the only thing I'll say that was nice compared to the NFL as well would be because now that Woj is out of the game, there was no pick spoiling.
Yeah, Shams did a nice job of holding back.
There was no, you know, the NFL draft, if you're on social, you'll find out the picks. You guys were giving
picks.
I was joking with you guys when we were at the landing for our draft party, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I already saw the pick. And you guys are like, don't tell me what it is. And it's because everybody's tweeting it out already. NBA draft, they did a good job of that. I'll say that was kind of nice that you had to watch in the moment to find out, like, we already know who was going number one, but like pick five, there was still some debate.
Questions about whether he'd be in the Utah Jazz because he openly said he didn't want to play for them, and then they drafted him anyway. A little bit of baseball news, nothing important, but Bobby Wood Jr. has officially been selected as the starting shortstop for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic.
I was like, there's
for
no
the Royals?
I was like, thinking All-Star game. I was like, he lost that vote to Jacob Wilson, or he's going to at least. Okay, good for him. That's awesome. No surprise.
Mark DeRosa announced that he'll be the starting shortstop.
Yeah, so. I mean, he absolutely should be. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
I agree. Love Bobby Wood Jr.
We were talking about some of the guys getting drafted, young talent in the NBA. Flip over to the NFL, thinking about the second and third year quarterbacks that we're about to have in the NFL. And I feel like there's only one, maybe two names to even consider here. But if I were to ask you the second or third year quarterback in the NFL, you actually trust with the game on the line. We know the vets you trust. Patrick Mahomes would be the only quarterback I would ever want with the game on the line. He has proven that time and time again.
There's other guys I'd like with
but
the game on the line.
Top
he's, the, he's the guy.
Second and third year quarterbacks, though. So eliminate the vets. Second and third year guys.
You don't want to give me like a first year and I just randomly say Cam Ward, even though I've never watched him.
There's no way that would be your answer. There's no way that'd be your answer.
Tyler Shuck. I'm a big Tyler Shuck guy with the game on the line.
It's actually Dylan Gabriel. look, what second or third year quarterback would you trust with the game on the line? The obvious answer, and I think the only answer, really, it's Jaden Daniels. That's it. And it's a small sample size. We're talking about second year quarterbacks now. But we saw Jaden Daniels come up in clutch moments multiple times last year, leading his team. I'm not even just talking about the Hail Mary, which was an insane play, but he had moments like that throughout. He seems like he kind of has it, that clutch gene. Jaden Daniels is the only answer I'll listen to. Second or third year quarterbacks, give me another one that you actually would want with the game on the line.
I don't even know. Okay, so the only other one that is probably worth a conversation that you know something about is CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Because Bryce Young, like, I'm not even sure he's a good starting quarterback yet, let alone with the game on the line. He's never had a game on the line. His entire team has played two straight years with not a single game that mattered at all. So,
I mean, I'm sure in his rookie year, he probably had a couple game-winning drives,
2-11 and it was 2 minutes to go and they were down three. You know,
the Texans? They weren't 2-11.
No, not the Texans. I said Bryce Young.
Oh, Bryce Young. Sorry.
Yeah, Bryce Young. His entire... No, C.J. Stroud made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I said. I thought you were talking about Stroud.
Bryce Young gave me the answer. His team has never played a meaningful football game the entire time he's been the starting quarterback. I know he won a natty. So, do I consider that part of it is, he won a clutch game once? Nobody else from that one. Anthony Richardson, Will Levis are the only two other quarterbacks in that, and they don't matter. And then it's Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix, who I would all argue are complete unknowns. I actually think you can make a decent argument for Bo Nix third if you wanted to enter the conversation, because at least his team was in close games and they won close games. But I'd still end up choosing Caleb Williams or the more talented guys that I don't know anything about, like Michael Penix, before I'd go with the stable body. Because again, it's not
there. Here's what's funny, though.
Daniels by a mile.
I think it is. And that was my first reaction. Then I looked up the numbers of game winning drives. This is going to surprise. This stunned me because to me, Daniels is still who I would answer. Even after knowing the stat, I think I would still say Daniels.
Yeah.
Do you know that it's 1 year versus two? So let's keep that in mind. But Bryce Young, and I'm sure very soon, Jaden Daniels is going to pass these guys very quickly. But in 1 year, Jaden Daniels had four game-winning drives in his rookie season last year. Four game-winning drives. Well, they clarify and classify, I should say, as that. Bryce Young in two seasons has six. He's ahead of Stroud. Bryce Young has more game-winning drives than C.J. Stroud.
Is that every win he's had? Six wins might be.
It absolutely might be.
Stroud has five of them. But yeah, that was surprising me that Bryce Young had one more in the same amount of years as Stroud, and actually fewer games played than Stroud, because remember, Bryce Young got benched.
And
he has six. Now, Jaden Daniels already has four, and he's played one full season less, so he's on a much better pace. But I was surprised to see that. If you're wondering, Bo Nix had three of them last year in year one. Anthony Richardson had three as well. Bo Nix and Anthony Richardson, same amount of game-winning drives.
Okay. Again, I take Bo Nix. I take a lot of guys over Anthony Richardson.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not really up for debate.
I think Anthony Richardson would take somebody else as well.
That is over himself. As much as I was being borderline sarcastic, that is every Bryce Young win. He has in his really? NFL career won 6 NFL football games. So the hey. Only ones in which so like to me that's
clutch.
Not a,
he's clutch.
No,
you know?
It's not. He's clutch.
He's clutch, man.
He's always behind.
He's
and 6 times
team.
He managed to win a football.
He's on a
game.
Bad team.
Like, that's
he's on a bad team.
No, I would take Jaden Daniels obviously over Bryce Young, but I thought those numbers were interesting. If you were just wondering out of the veterans,
maybe on a good team he would be more clutch.
If you were wondering out of the vets, and these guys have played varying number of seasons, but Matthew Stafford currently is the league leader in game winning drives. He's also been playing since 2009, but he has 49 of them. Russell Wilson since 2012 has 40 of them. Derek Carr, who's now retired, but 35 of them. Aaron Rodgers is fourth. He's been playing since 05, though. He's got 34 active quarterbacks, a little bit younger, obviously under the age of 30 and everything. Patrick Mahomes has 23 of them so far in his career. He actually has the same amount of game-winning drives as Dak Prescott.
But I never look at this as being all that bad in the good quarterback standpoint.
Yeah, because you're ahead.
Because, it doesn't tell me he plays from ahead 90% of the time. A team's ability to come from behind sometimes, because I remember Philip Rivers used to be king of this stat. Philip Rivers, come from behind, kid. He wasn't a more clutch quarterback. His teams are just behind more. And if you're a good enough quarterback, you will win a certain number of those games, even though you are consistently behind. Like, and
but you know, that graphic on a Sunday Night Football, whatever broadcast they're doing, fourth quarter, all the time they cite the game-winning drives in his career or whatever.
I know the way Mahomes plays when it's the fourth quarter
and that's why
and overtime, and they have to have it. I know how he plays.
And that's why he's the overall answer to this, but out of second and third-year quarterbacks, it's Jaden Daniels.
Who's second, by the way, on your list, just out of curiosity? Can it be Josh Allen if he's never been to a Super Bowl? Even though I think he's the second-best quarterback?
What,
can
in
it?
Terms of like clutch drives?
Game on the line, 2 minutes to go, I need a touchdown.
Yeah, here's why. Here's why the answer can still be Josh Allen, because even in the 13-second divisional round game where we all remember, Josh Allen was answering the call.
That's got to be your example.
He scored with 13 seconds. What else was he supposed to do? You know what I mean?
I actually don't think it can be a quarterback if they've never been to the Super Bowl.
So you don't think you can be clutch if you can't if you can't get to the Super Bowl? You don't think you can be a clutch quarterback?
So then who's your answer? Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow?
Yeah, there's nothing but
Brock.
Like in the Mahomes era, it's been Brady.
Like three more answers.
It's been Brady.
Well, it's not going to go off.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, these are the only quarterbacks that have been in the Super Bowls during this era.
Damn, I guess that is the part that's hurting me a little.
You only have like four
Stafford,
choices. Stafford,
Goff, Hurts, Burrow,
and Purdy.
Purdy and Garoppolo.
Well, it's not the other two you just listed. But
these are the
maybe it's Hurts.
You have like five options. Yeah,
maybe it's Hurts.
It's so hard for me to say it's Jalen Hurts, though, because, like, with all due respect to him, and this is where, like, it's just unfair criticism, I guess, but, like, he doesn't strike, like, if there's 60 seconds, you know, there's a minute left on the clock, I'm not picking Jalen Hurts to march me down the field. I'm just not. And he's a very good quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback, I would argue, but I'm not picking him over Allen or Burrow from just in this exact example.
The only one I could choose if Super Bowl was is Burrow. It's the only one I could choose and do that. How many come from behind victories does he have on there?
I just closed it. I can't find it. No, I closed it. I'll find it again.
Probably not. I bet you he doesn't have more than 10.
I mean,
active quarterback.
They haven't won enough games as part of
that. I bet you he doesn't have more than 10.
He's got 9. So, Drew, you were right there. He's got 9. Daniel Jones and him have the same amount.
But I will say, like, this one more than even just the stat that you're giving. There is like an eye test, smell test part to it.
That's what I mean,
like,
by it hurts. Yeah.
When I watch Joe Burrow in a 2-minute drill, I do watch a guy who like gets it done usually.
Compared to Daniel Jones,
Nobody gets it done in the clutch all the time. But that's the thing. That's the thing I can't really get past with Josh. Josh Allen probably would be my choice of two, because the hardest thing to get past is like when it is like game is on the line and you better win this damn game. Josh Allen does that a lot. He does it against everybody not named Patrick Mahomes.
I was going to ask how many Josh Allen had, because I don't think we answered Josh Allen.
Hold on. Let me pull it back up.
Or Lamar Jackson.
I'll leave it up for the rest of the show now, right?
At least for the rest of this segment.
Josh Allen is 11th in active leaders. He has 21 of them. He is 2 behind Dak and Mahomes. He's 1 ahead of Goff and 2 ahead of Geno
Smith. How many does Lamar Jackson have?
Lamar.
It obviously wouldn't be playoffs. Really?
For any of these.
Lamar is 12 of them. He's tied with Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield.
See,
they've obviously played different amount of years. Keep that in mind. But yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Would you rather, I think this is interesting in this conversation. Would you take Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson
in a game-winning drive
over a guy like Josh Allen?
You'd have to take Lamar.
Because of the running?
You'd still have to take Lamar at this point, 1 year into Jane Daniels' career.
No. I'm saying either of them compared to Josh Allen or any of the other guys, or Stafford. Would you rather take Lamar Jackson in a game-winning drive or Matt Stafford? I think that's an interesting conversation.
Probably lean Matthew Stafford. He's just done it more.
I don't know if that's because you could also say, well,
I know you would say, well, Lamar can just take off and run, but still, like
Lamar
Matthew Stafford
have the weapons too that Stafford has. Technically, you could also make that argument.
I'd probably lean Lamar, but that's the biggest toss up probably the entire group. Can I ask something about while I was gone that I felt like?
When
you're gone from like the sports stuff, you're just all watching it like at a glance. Uh-huh. Is kind of how it feels like.
For sure,
I saw Cags hit two home runs. And like, you know, I might pay attention to the games or watch them on game day. You know, it varies a little bit, but like you're watching everything from a glance. The entire time I was gone was every different person and sports person in this town just taking turns, making wild guesses of what they thought were going to happen at the stadiums that culminated in 78 different rumors. I saw legends for the Royals, legends for the Chiefs, renovation for the Chiefs at Jackson County. Royals in Clay County, Royals at Washington Square Park, Royals at the Asperia campus, a public vote for the Chiefs. I saw like 15 different theories all being reported, I think, as like, this is what I'm hearing, rumblings. Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting a lot of rumblings, it felt like, when I was gone. Is that a good way to,
look,
to
there
describe
was some
it
reports,
in the time that I was gone?
There were some reports out there that I think had some interesting elements to them. I said it on, was that Monday or Tuesday? I think the Royals, the Legends thing makes zero sense whatsoever. We'll have to get back into the specifics on that, but I think it makes zero sense. I think the biggest takeaway in the last week or so is all the momentum continues now to suddenly shift towards the Chiefs renovating Arrowhead. I think if we were to like just gauge the, like, where's the meter leaning update, it's in the last week or two shifted more and more towards Chiefs renovating Arrowhead and staying there. The other update we got, and this was interesting information, I think it was Jonathan Katz who had it first from Fox 4, is that we all know the star bond deadline is Monday. We all knew they could extend it, but the latest is now, not only can they extend it, but they can extend it retroactively. So it was always a fake deadline? So it could be 3 weeks from now, and they can say, oh, by the way, yeah, we did it. We did go ahead and extend. They don't have to announce they're extending it. They can retroactively up to a certain period of time.
Because they know they're not getting the answer by the 31st is what I'm hearing there.
Or
the,
yeah,
30th, whenever it expires.
Yeah, Monday, I think, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're finding out Monday afternoon where they're going, if that's what you're asking. No.
So, yeah, it was just a bunch of rumblings. I will say the renovated Arrowhead, maybe you and I were talking like off air. I can't remember if it was on air like 3 weeks ago. It was always the same thing. Like what I had heard is like they have a plan for renovated Arrowhead.
I think they do.
They don't actually have like, as in like they have detailed architectural plans.
I'm sure
I believe
do. Yeah.
For a different plan for renovated Arrowhead. That's not the same as the first
one. Well, we know the dollar amount
and
jumped
blueprints
up.
And all. Yeah.
We knew the dollar amount jumped up.
And they don't have that yet for whatever potential site, which meant to me, they were probably more serious about the Arrowhead site. But then like, I don't know if is the Clay County thing, is that back in play? I kind of felt like that was gone. Is that?
I think so.
You think it's Asperia or Washington Square Park?
For the Royals, yes. I just don't, the Legends thing makes no sense to me. They're going to go to the furthest west of the metro area.
That'd be the worst choice of all time.
And you want to draw attendance on weeknights and stuff, and you're asking people from the eastern side of the metro area to go all the way to Legends. They'll do it for a Chiefs game because it's one day.
Eight times.
On a Wednesday night, it doesn't make any sense. You and I both prefer the downtown site. We've said that for years now, whether it was the East Village originally, we've been very much
pro. My second site would be the Clay site.
Pro downtown. I like the renderings for the Clay site, but I think if they're not downtown, they would go to the Overland Park site.
So it feels like I didn't miss anything in the stadium front.
No, there's some clarification on a few things, but
it felt like this speculation took like a jump up, maybe because we're getting closer to the deadlines, more people are talking, but it definitely felt like it went like, The guessing game took another level in the time in which I was gone. Somebody says the star bond was already extended. Did I miss that?
No, they did not officially announce that it was extended. Again, they said that they can retroactively extend it. We just assume that it's going to not technically This is where it's, technically it's not going to expire because they can announce in 2 months that they retroactively extended it.
What else did I miss on the show while I was gone, by the way? Somebody tried to tell me that Drew tried to mention the Gamecocks and that didn't go great.
So I was gone last Friday, Cody. Right?
We do not need to rehash that.
I was gone last Friday. I was gone last Friday.
I didn't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm not kidding.
I'll tell you about it during the break. I'll tell you about it during the break.
It was just Drew and Bink, and they, of course, were talking college football.
Yeah, sure.
And they were talking about their teams they liked this season. They're talking about quarterbacks and what Lenoris, whatever his name, Sellers or something. Yes. They're talking about him. And all of a sudden, Bink said, oh, you're a very, Drew's a big Gamecocks fan. But he just said,
yes.
And he didn't have the plural attached to it. So he just said, you're a fan.
And I quickly said, I do think the South Carolina Gamecocks can be pretty good this year.
And there's a drop of it, but I don't know if we. I mean, if you have,
I don't
if you have
allowed
the
to play
if
it.
If you have the S on it, that's their nickname. But the problem is, Bink didn't say have the S on it.
So we're not
he just
going.
Said,
we're
you're
not
a,
going to play.
So we're not
going
to
correct
play the drop. Drew's very concerned about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that the majority? Were there any fights? Hold on. I did hear one thing.
Bink was
right after he apologized on the air, and he said he's got no problem with me, and he says he's got no beef. After he made fun of my song. Carrington was crushing me for taking vacation time to spend time with my family. Terribly sorry. I wanted to be around my daughter and son for the length of time in which
everybody
I
was
missed
asking.
The
Scott
trip.
Parks hey, was
what
saying,
a monster I am for spending time with my family.
Parks was even saying from over KMZ, he's like, where's Cody coming back to work? People were wondering, man.
He's saying on that side of the building?
People were wondering. Text line was
Dana's
saying
gone for
somebody
a week
asked
sometimes.
If you got fired yesterday on the text line.
Oh, it took that long?
There's a couple ask. Of those. A couple of those started to come in.
Been in
a
trouble
bit.
A couple of times last month, but not fired.
Nope,
those
nope,
are different.
Nope. So, yes. Are you back for the long haul here? Are you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have, you know. I don't have any other planned trips. At the moment.
Yeah, I think
currently just like, you know, as it sits there might
I will
be a
say
day
tomorrow,
or two here or there, but you know.
We'll fill you in tomorrow. Every show's doing this. The morning show did it last Friday. Tomorrow we have a football planning day. We are getting set for the fall. We plan out our shows for the fall, etc., and what we're going to do differently and for training camp and all that. So tomorrow we are not on the show.
We. The collective we.
That is true.
We will be here though. If something breaks, can I reserve the right?
Yes.
Like if they announce the Royals are building a downtown stadium.
Obviously, we will cancel the meetings and we'll be on the air. Yes.
I was like, can I reserve the right if something really cool happens that maybe I could just pop in there for a few? No, I just I heard he was bashing me for being gone. Carrington, I will say, Carrington takes vacation in a way I've never seen anybody take vacation in my life. And this is not like it's not a criticism, it is just an observation. Carrington takes the same amount of vacation I take in a year, but he takes it 2 days at a time, 52 weeks. It's like it's the most random smattering of miscellaneous days never squeezed together. I'm not wrong, am I?
No, you're not.
Alex is exactly the way he takes it,
I couldn't tell you the last time he was gone for a week.
Day here, day there, 2 days here, front and back. Have to. He'll just take the most random smattering of days. I've never seen anyone take vacation in that regard. I told you, man.
Yeah,
you sit in that dance studio 5 straight days. And that Texas heat. The worst part of the entire trip, easily, is they have a huge production number, and the gigantic set piece they need in order to do that production number had to come down in parts because it's so big. Which meant on Sunday morning before their dance in the Texas heat, I essentially had to just do construction work for 2 hours. And you're like, this is the worst.
Dang.
This is miserable. This is hot and sweaty, and I don't want to do it. Like, can I unvolunteer from this? I'll do any other assignment. It got billed in time. It's fine.
Someone from the 913 is happy that you're back. Not going to lie, guys. I did miss the sissy guy's voice while he was gone.
Oh.
From the 913.
Wow.
That's, you know what? They said they missed it, though. I'm taking that as a compliment. They still call it a sissy little voice, but, you know.
All right, guys, coming up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. Something that I don't know if fans care as much about as apparently
sketchy.
Some members of the media. when it comes to what the NFL is doing. And we'll talk more about the Royals and a name or two that they've been linked to in the trade market. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.